Today I want to encourage you in God's Word, which I hope you love, that it is our hope, and that is where we find our hope. Notice Psalm 118, verse 81. David said, "My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word." Now, if you go to verse 114 of the same chapter, Psalm 119, verse 114, "Thou art my hiding place and my shield, I hope in thy word." And then verse 147, same chapter, Psalm 119, 147, "I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word." And then Psalm 130, verse 5, Psalm 130, verse 5, "I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope." Our title today, as you have already guessed, is "I hope in thy word." Let's pray. Lord, how we love you, how we thank you for your word. We are so blessed to be able to hold a copy in our hands, to know that you wrote it for us, that you preserved it for us. And Lord, it is here on earth, it's everything that we need. It is our food, it is our encouragement, and as we will see today, it is our hope. I pray, Lord, that this would sink deep into our souls today, the importance of thy word in our lives. And Lord, that we would reveal that through how we treat it. May you be glorified as we lift up you and your word. And Lord, if there's someone in our service not born again, I pray that they would realize Jesus made it very clear that you must be born again. And that can only happen through what he did at Calvary by dying for us and rising again. Every will and every heart, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Our hope is based on God's word. Amen. Without it, we really don't have any hope. That is where we learn about Jesus. That is where we learn about sin and man, the consequences of sin, where we learn that Jesus is coming back, where we learn that we have a creator and he loves us, that he's omnipotent and omnipresent and omniscient and all those things. We only learn all those things from this book. And God, in his graciousness, wrote it for us over the course of 1,500 years. And now we can sit here today during the church age and say, I have the completed word of God. If you look at Hebrews 6 quickly, verse 17, God refers to it as an anchor. And I hope for every believer in this room and online, you can say, it is my anchor, this book. Hebrews chapter 6, look at verse 17. It says, "Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil." God wrote this book, as we read in verse 17, to show the heirs of promise. That's us. We are the heirs of promise. But where do we learn about those promises? In the Word of God. This is our anchor. Look at Romans chapter 15, verse 4. That was our memory verse at family camp this year that Brother Frazier gave us. Romans 15, verse 4. "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have," what? "Hope." This book was written to give us hope. Now, we could spend the rest of the day just talking about how amazing this book is, couldn't we? That it's inspired by God, written by God. Amen. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. 2 Timothy 3:16. that is powerful, Hebrews 4:12, quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. That God promised to preserve it for us. Amen. Psalm 12, verse 6. Every word of God is pure. Thou shalt keep it, O Lord, from this generation forever. But this book was written for us. Hallelujah. Isaiah 55, verse 10, if you want to turn there. Most of us know this passage. At least we mention it a lot of times. Often we'll quote, the word will not return void. We get it from this passage. And again, we talk about this passage a lot, about God accomplishing His purpose on earth, but He's going to do it through His Word. And we need to ask ourselves as we walk through these scriptures today, am I interested in God accomplishing His purpose in my life through His Word? Isaiah 55, verse 10, for as the rain cometh down, the snow from heaven, returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. God has a plan to accomplish things in each of our lives through this book. And we need to let Him. Amen. God says, 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. Desire it. It is God's will that we desire this book, because this is where we find our hope. David said in Psalm 119:97, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. So let's go through these four scriptures and look at these four ways in which we hope in the Word. The first one we looked at was Psalm 119:81. Let's look there, where David said, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, for I hope in thy word. That's where it all begins, isn't it? Salvation. And that is our hope. Our first and primary and most important hope is that we believe that we have eternal life. Amen? It all begins there. The rest of it is not important if you don't have eternal life. It means nothing. You will end up in hell forever if you do not take this first step of placing your hope in the gospel of Jesus Christ and receiving eternal life. Titus 1:2, if you want to turn there quickly, talks about this hope that we have in our salvation. Titus chapter 1, look if you would at verse 2. The Bible says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Now understand this morning, when God uses this word hope, He's not talking about how we tend to use it today. We tend to mean, well, I hope this is going to happen. That's not what God is saying. In Scripture, a hope is a certainty. Amen? And we, as God's children, have this certainty of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, hallelujah, promised before the world to get. While you're in Titus, look at Titus 3, verse 7. The Bible says that being justified by grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. As Christians, our hope, our first hope, from Psalm 119:81, is our hope in eternal life. How many times do we give our testimony? How many times do we praise God for His salvation? For our home in heaven? For our forgiveness? That's our eternal life. And that is our first hope. Our second hope, if you go to Psalm 119:114, which we read, is in God's presence, in God's protection, once we have eternal life, that God is with us. That God doesn't just say, okay, you're saved, I'll see you when you get to heaven. No, God says, you're saved, now I'm with you. I'm actually going to move in and make you my temple in the person of the Holy Ghost. And I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm going to travel with you on your entire Christian journey. Notice Psalm 119:114. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. Amen. God is the place where we hide. God is our protection. He says, I hope in thy word. Those of us who are Christians, you know, we're told in James chapter 4, verse 7 to resist the devil, aren't we? And he will flee from you. And then Jesus gave us the example on how to do that in Matthew chapter 4 when he was tempted by the devil. He only did one thing. He quoted Scripture. We get to Ephesians 6 talking about the armor of God. And what does the Bible tell us? Verse 17, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. God promised His presence. God promised His protection. Look at Psalm 19, verse 11. Not 119:11, 19:11. Now, you've probably heard verse 10 before. Amen? Because we all just sang it a few minutes ago. This beautiful passage, 7 through 10, about this amazing book, God's Word. But in verse 11, what does he say? Moreover, not only is this book sweeter than honey in the honeycomb, not only is it to be desired more than gold and fine gold, but moreover, verse 11, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Amen? Thy servant is warned. This book, we have hope in God's protection, and we get that hope from the Word of God. Psalm 37, 31. We'll look at another one. Psalm 37, verse 31. The Bible says, the law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Once we become Christians and have that hope of eternal life, now we have the hope of God's presence and God's protection all through our Christian life. Hallelujah. That is our hope, that God is with us. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. That God not only forgives us and gives us eternal life and promises us a home in heaven where we walk on streets of gold, but he says, until you get there, you're going to have to fight some battles with the flesh, with the world, with the devil. Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Notice Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's a hope of glory that Jesus moved in. That's difficult to explain to a child, but we believe it's true. That God the Father sent God the Son to die for us. And when God the Son went to heaven, God the Holy Spirit came to earth and began to indwell his children until the day of redemption. We are sealed. We are his temple. And he hath purchased us with his blood and promised us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And that is his hope as well, that he will be there and protect us. He'll be that shield. He will provide for us or give us his presence. But let's look at the third one, Psalm 119, verse 147. David said, I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried. I hoped in thy word. As Christians, we have an amazing hope. You know, that hope is that God hears us when we pray. Amen? There are people all around the world that pray multiple times a day at certain given times. They pray in a certain direction and they faithfully do it. The honest truth is, God is not hearing those prayers if they're not through the blood of Jesus Christ. They have no access to the throne of grace. We are told in Hebrews 4 to come boldly under the throne of grace. But that's only because we have access to the Holy of Holies through the blood of Jesus Christ. And our third hope here is that God listens and hears and answers our prayers. Amen? 1 John 5, if you want to turn there, verse 14 and 15. God talks about this. David said, I cried all night long. He said, I didn't sleep all night. I cried all night long, and I hoped in thy word. I believed through your word that you hear me and that you answer my prayers. 1 John chapter 5, look at verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Verse 15. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. You see those words, know? That's a hope, isn't it? That we know that what? He hears us. We know this. Why? Why do we know that the Creator of the universe, who made everything, hears the prayers of each of us? How is that even possible? Because he is God. And he gave us this amazing hope that he hears every prayer, which is why God tells us, 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him. Amen. For he careth for you. That's a hope. David said, I cried all night long and I hoped in thy word. I know that you're hearing me, Lord. Imagine getting to heaven and being able to talk to David. Then our fourth hope is that passage in Psalm 130, verse 5, if you want to turn back there. So firstly, eternal life. This is where it all begins. And I hope everyone in this room says, I have that hope. I do not question a bit that I've been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit moved in. Matter of fact, Thursday night, one of the things that the Potato people asked us to do a study on was evidence of salvation. How do we know we're saved? And so we're going to walk through those five things in the Scriptures that tell us we know we're saved. But I hope you can all say, I have that hope. I know I have eternal life. I know I'm born again. And I also know that God is with me. No matter what I go through, he never leaves me. And I also know that God hears my prayers. He listens. Psalm 130, verse 5, lastly, this last hope is that he's coming back. Amen. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. The other three are, for now, eternal life, God's presence, God's protection, God hearing our prayers. The fourth hope is for the future. Amen? That's yet to come. Psalm 130, verse 5, I wait. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, 19. We are commanded as Christians to wait and to hope, not to wonder if it's going to happen, but to know that at any time, Jesus could come back. Amen? Revelation 22:20, even so, come Lord Jesus. Notice 1 Corinthians 15, 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. He says, if our only hope is here on earth, then we miss the mark. That's what he's saying. The whole chapter is about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the gospel. He says, if we only have hope in the here and now, then he's saying we're most miserable because we just spent our lives focusing on God and serving God and pleasing God and using our lives for him instead of ourselves. And we're miserable because if there is no God, we wasted our time. But because we have the Word of God, we know Jesus is coming back to get us. Amen? That is an amazing hope. Look at Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Looking, it says, for that blessed hope. Amen? And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Looking for what? That blessed hope. The return of Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 5 is another one. The Bible says, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven." And so our fourth hope here in Scripture is that we have something waiting for us. Not only the return of Jesus, but heaven. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 says, "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Hallelujah. We have a reservation. A mansion on Golden Street Avenue. That's our hope, that Jesus is coming back. And you know that hope should control our lives. Look at 1 Peter 3:15. It's one thing to believe it. It's another thing to believe it to the point that it impacts how you live your life. That's what Peter's telling us here, 1 Peter 3:15. "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you." Well, we just talked about that hope. And God says we need to be ready always to give an answer as to why we have this hope. Why do Christians know they're going to heaven? Why do Christians know that God's watching out for them and never leaves them? Because of this book. Amen. Why do Christians know that when they pray, God hears and God answers? And why do Christians know that Jesus is coming back? Because we hope in His Word. And God says, be ready always to give an answer for anyone that asks you about this hope that is in you. Aren't you thankful for the Word of God? Praise God for His Word. Now there is some bad news. And the bad news is that the lost have no hope. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4:13 and I'll show you this. The world is looking for hope wherever they can, in sin, in religion, in money, in power and fame. They look and they look and they cannot find hope, a lasting hope, because it's just nowhere to be found except in the gospel and in the salvation of Jesus Christ and in His Word. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." No hope. What hope is there for a lost person? They have no hope. They need to hear about Jesus. Amen. They need to hear the beautiful gospel of Jesus Christ. They need to know that they can have the hope of eternal life. And after that, that they can have the hope of God's presence no matter what. And that God hears prayers and answers them. And that God will give them heaven. But they have no hope. Ephesians 2:12 says it again if you want to turn there. So we all see what our mission is. We read it in 1 Peter 3:15. We need to give people a reason. Amen? A reason why we have a hope. Ephesians 2:12, "that at that time you were without Christ," talking about before we were saved, "being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." That's a description of before we were saved. Having no hope. But now, because God wrote it down for us, hallelujah, we have hope. And we, like David, can say, "Lord, I hope in Thy Word." So we are reminded again, we need to be in this book, amen? You're looking for success? Joshua 1:8. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do." And if you'll do those things, what does it say? "Then thou shalt make the way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Always comes back to the book. Amen? And I hope everyone in this room could say, I have the hope of eternal life. If you don't, there's no reason to wait. You wouldn't be in church if you didn't believe there was a God. So come to God on His terms through His Son, whom He sent to die for you and rise again for you, so that you can have the hope of eternal life too. And those of us that are Christians, hallelujah, we know because of this book, because our hope is in the Word of God, that God will never leave us, and that God hears and answers our prayers, and that God is coming back for us. Our hope. It's a beautiful thing. And it should affect us. And we should be always ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. David said, I hope in thy word. I hope every one of us can say the same thing. Lord, I hope in thy word. Thank you for it. I love it. Help me to study it more. Help me to read it more. Help me to meditate in it more. Help me to memorize and hide more of it in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. But I hope in thy word. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. We thank you for your precious word. We could never, ever overestimate its power. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Continue to build our faith, Lord, through your word. And I pray that you continue to use even this church to build faith through your word. And Lord, continue to use our own personal study time, our own personal meditation time, our own personal memorization time, Lord, to build our hope. Thank you so much. Have your will and way in every heart. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.